Hi, my name is Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview today on, on behalf of the One and All Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 14th of September 2009. If you could please state your name, your age, and where you're from.
James Hurst, I'm 27, and I live on Brick Lane.
And how are you today?
A little tired and a little scared that the man just in front of me on the plinth is invisible.
Fair enough. He looks very invisible, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So can I just ask how you initially heard about this project?
I'm not sure. I think it was probably just people talking about it. I don't think it was anything in particular other than people talking about it. And then the email from Artichoke that announced it as a press release.
And what was it, as an individual, that motivated you to want to get involved?
I think Anthony's work's great. I think the concept of the project's really interesting. I'm a taker-parter sort of a person.
Mm-hmm. Partaker.
Partaker. A joiner.
Yeah. So how did you feel when you actually found out you had a place?
Yeah, it was really exciting. Because initially I didn't have a place. I'm not really sure how it worked, but at first I assumed I didn't have a place, and then it didn't come through until a few weeks later. It was exciting. I think by then maybe it even started at the point that I found out that I had a place, and the first few people, I think, changed the shape of the project a little bit by being quite sort of big characters. And I think at that point, because I'm not really an extrovert kind of a person, I was a little bit nervous that I was going to have to learn to juggle or something.
So, having followed the project since the beginning, what do you think of it so far? What do you think of its progression?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's good that there are some people that are going up there, and was it the NSPCC the other morning that did something which is really good, I thought. And then at the other end, you've got people. I saw a guy called Gunter who was completely crazy and mad, you know, and obviously quite a crazy artist in his own right. And I think that's kind of nice that you've got people that go up there with a very set objective to raise awareness for a charity or raise awareness for their business, but then you've got other people that are just using it as an opportunity to be a bit balmy.
So for you, what are you planning on doing today?
I'm going to go up and sit on a little plastic chair and read my book to myself.
What book?
It's a book by A.M. Holmes, and it's called Music for Torching.
And why did you decide to do this?
I think when I found out that I was going to do it, in my head I tried to work out what I would do if I was up at 4 a.m. And I love reading books, and I just thought that I'd either draw something. My first thought was that I would do some sort of sketch. I brought a sketchbook, so maybe I'll do a sketch from the top of the plinth. But then I thought, no, but you know, I probably wouldn't do a sketch at 4 a.m. But I definitely do wake up at 4 a.m. sometimes, and I do just read my book.
So, are you aiming to kind of engage at all with anyone, or do you want it to be quite an isolated experience?
Yeah, I'm really pleased that it's 4 a.m, so that the ability to engage is hopefully pretty small, because hopefully there won't be very many people there. I would not imagine that I will engage with anyone. Not that I don't like talking to people, but I'm not sure I'm the right sort of person to have some sort of on-off plinth banter. Especially at 4 a.m, because I imagine at 4 a.m, the people that will be hanging around will probably be mad.
The majority, yes. So, Can I just ask you a little bit about what you do for a living? Kind of where you live, who you are?
Yeah, I'm a graphic designer, but I put on art exhibitions. So I run and collaborative art projects. So we've got two big projects running at the moment. One where we're getting different artists to draw things on puzzle pieces, and then we're going to make that puzzle into one big thing, put on an exhibition in January or February next year. And then we've got another thing where we're getting illustrators and artists to help tell a story over time. So you might tell a bit of the story and draw your section of the story, and then we'll get another artist to tell the next bit of the story. And then when 100 artists have told their story, we're going to put on an exhibition probably at the end of 2010. But we don't make very much money from doing that. So I also work for a bundle of design companies.
What kind of design, your graphic designer, what kind of projects do you normally get involved in?
The One Another project was a big project. We do lots of stuff for the Wellcome Trust. Artichoke, we've done all of the stuff for Artichoke. So the Sultan's Elephant, the La Machine, well, lots of stuff. So a lot of culturally based, creative stuff in and around London. Well, in and around the UK. We do a lot of stuff with small theatres, a lot of programmes, the occasional stuff. We're doing a big thing for the Roundhouse at the moment. But generally, if someone wants to do something that's a bit offbeat and left field, and it's in some way culturally focused, then I think we're a good design agency for them to come to.
And did you train as a graphic designer?
Yeah, I went to Winchester Art School for a little while, and then I went to Brighton Art School and did a degree in graphic design. And then I've been working in graphic design for 6 years in London.
So what would you describe your relationship like with London like?
I love it. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think if you want to go and do something, it's going to be there. If you want to go and stand on a plinth, it's there. I like the different... I live in the middle of a big Bengali community, and the, you know, it's like a big, welcoming, happy family. So the local Bengali families around us are all fasting for Ramadan at the moment, and you know, it's a really... I come from a little tiny village in the middle of the countryside, which is very white and very middle class, and it's, for me, every day walking down the road, it's really exciting to see, you know, people from a million different countries talking a million different languages and picking up all of the different weird things about people. So I quite enjoy the onslaught that you have. That said, it's pretty exhausting, because if you're not open to that sort of stuff, if you're feeling a bit closed, then I think London can get you down. But if you walk out the door and you're feeling pretty accepting of whatever happens, you've just got to go with it, then I think it's quite a pleasant experience.
So could I just ask you a little bit about your interests?
It's mainly around design and art based stuff. I think it's got to be a bit of a passion to do it. There's not, you don't earn very much money and you work very long hours, and I think the payoff is that the fact that you're doing something that's visual, that you're making stuff, means that you don't have to sort of have other interests. Does that make sense? I suppose what I'm trying to say is that I've decided to not do have work life and then a personal life. I quite like the grey area of work and personal life muddling along together.
So could you talk a little bit about, you said you're from the countryside, where do you come from, kind of what your childhood was like?
Well, I was born in Switzerland, in the middle of a place called Zufikon, which is in the middle of nowhere. And then when I was 9, we moved to England, and we moved to a little village called Bishop's Waltham, which is outside of Winchester, and which is very small. And I think there are about 1,000 houses or something. It's not very many. Well, there are more now, but when I grew up, there wasn't very many. yeah, it was very nice, very sedate kind of a lifestyle. Lots of walking through the countryside, and yeah, but I think as a kid you rally against that. You now, when I leave London, it's quite a nice sort of break to go back and see my parents or friends who still live around there. But I remember as a kid feeling incredibly frustrated at people not sort of understanding why you didn't want to become a solicitor or a investment person in a city sort of firm. And I think that it's true for a lot of kids, or probably not, maybe it's not, but certainly in Bishop's Waltham, it was true for a lot of kids that you felt that the small village was a bit of a trap. And everyone that I know has moved to London or other cities around the world.
Great, so just to go back to this project, what are your expectations for your hour?
I'm not really sure I've got any expectations. I'm really keen to, or excited to see the view from the top of the plinth. I'd love to see the sunrise from the plinth. Yeah, I'd quite like it to be quite calm. I'm really glad it's not raining, and I'm glad that it's not very cold. But yeah, I don't think I've got sort of, I'm not expecting to walk off the plinth and be a different person.
And have you brought anybody with you today? Was there anyone watching?
Yeah, well, hopefully there'll be a few people watching, but there's a small chance that my friend who has been in Cyprus has just texted to say that she might stop off on her way back from the airport, but I don't know whether she will actually turn up. I'd feel a little bit scared if there was anyone that I knew there, because I think that adds to the weight that you have to do something. It's kind of like if you invite friends over for dinner, you feel like you have to tidy the house and make a nice meal, whereas if a friend just pops over and you're kind of slumming it, then they, you know, will just join you at that level.
Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think I'm done.